We're going to continue to emphasize family and friends today as we study together. In fact, this morning, I want us to think about what every family needs, what every family needs. Many of you know that I taught Bible for 4 years at Mobile Christian School, high school Bible. I've been honored on occasion for one of my students to asked me to perform his or her wedding ceremony. And there's one couple that asked me to do that, and I was honored to do it, and I met with them as I customarily do. Now, this couple had a pretty good start to their marriage financially, because they were already building a house. I'm sure their parents chipped in too, but and so they had pictures. This was the third meeting we had together, and they were showing me pictures. The first, the lot, the clearing of the lot, the laying of the foundation, the building up of the walls. And so I looked at them and congratulated them on it. But it gave me the perfect lead-in to what I wanted to focus on in our time together that particular day. And I pulled out the picture of their foundation. I said, you know, this is the most important part of your house, the foundation. And that led easily into a discussion about building our families upon the rock. The most important part of our homes is the foundation of our homes. Unless the Lord builds the house, Psalm 127, verse 1, they labor in vain who build it. And as Jonathan read for us, notice Matthew chapter 7. This will be our key text this morning. Whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus says, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Jesus is speaking about the foundation of our lives, and he uses the analogy of building a house, but really he's speaking about our lives individually, but also by extension our families, making sure that our families are built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Paul says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He must be the foundation of our homes if our families are going to withstand the storms that will come. And they will come. Jesus, in talking about different foundations, there's a common thing there in these Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Both of these houses endured the rains, the winds, the waves, the floods. Both foundations were tested, just as all foundations will be tested. Therefore, the most important thing is to have the proper foundation, building our families on the rock, on Jesus Christ. I want to just remind you of six blessings that come from building our foundation of our homes, of our families on the rock. Some blessings that come, some spiritual blessings that come because we build our families upon Jesus. The first one is purpose. We have purpose or meaning to our family. It's not just about existing. It's not just about having a family. There's a sense of purpose within our families, meaning to our lives. And it's something that each of us must ask and answer individually about, why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? And our families need to ask the same thing. Why do we exist? Is there more to just waking up in the morning and seeing familiar faces and knowing that we're related? Isn't there more to it? Jesus would say concerning priorities, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that is true for the individual, but it's also true for our families. I read about a businessman in Texas who started off as parents helped him start a business. They were pretty well-to-do, and he experienced a lot of success in the first 10 years of his business. But then the economy went sour, and he, at the same time that he'd made some risky investments, and he ended up losing everything, house, cars, his business. And he and his wife were talking one night, all night long, about their predicament. And they were just trying to examine what they were going to do next. And he was apprehensive about just starting over again, fearful that the same thing might happen. But then as they talked, they realized they'd been thinking incorrectly. Listen to his words. "We'd been so occupied with making money and the daily busyness of life that we'd allowed God and people to be crowded out of our lives. We reminded ourselves that the purpose of life isn't to accumulate money, swimming pools, cars, and fur coats. The purpose of life is to love and honor God and to express God's love toward each other." And so they made a pact at that moment that from that day forward, they were going to emphasize their relationship with God and their relationship with their family and friends, to love and honor God and to love others with the love of God. And their relationship grew, and they even went back into business, but they didn't focus so much on strictly on their business, but they invested their time and energy and resources in their friends, in church, in charitable work, in improving themselves. And things were going very well for them. They had to start over, but they learned the real priorities in life. The job, the possessions, the money, he says, are no longer an end in themselves. They are a means of making life pleasant and serving God and others. If I lost them, if I lost the job, the possessions, the money, he says, I'd still feel rich. And there are the words of someone who had realized there's more to life than material things. There must be a sense of purpose. There has to be something greater than that in order for us to find fulfillment and even to make our marriages, our families, what they need to be. You see, by building your house, your family on the rock of Jesus, you have that meaning and purpose. You see, there's a bigger picture here. There's an ultimate goal of not just getting a house and cars, etc. But our goal, our ultimate goal, is going to heaven and helping one another get there. And that far supersedes any earthly undertaking that in which we may engage ourselves. But that's the meaning, that's the purpose we have by building our families on the rock of Jesus. Number two, a second blessing of building our families upon Jesus is we have principles for living. Principles for living. One wise family member stated, "The principles that Jesus taught and the values found throughout the Bible are helpful in creating good family relationships." And then some of those principles were enumerated, such as responsibility, concern for others, empathy, love, forgiveness, honesty, and on we could go. Recently, Alan and Trudy Brown and their boys moved to Morrilton, Arkansas to work with Southern Christian Home. And we presented them, and I believe Don found this at a bookstore, and I was able to find it online. It's called Home Rules. And that, not only for their family, but those young ladies that they're going to be taking care of, seeing this list of home rules based upon Scripture, I thought that would be meaningful to them. Things like always be honest, count your blessings, bear each other's burdens, and on, all those biblical principles that are so applicable to our relationships within the family. And among those listed, it stated, treat each other like you treat your friends. Actually, it's do unto others as you would have them do unto you, Matthew 7 and verse 12. We have all these biblical principles that are so applicable, but if we just had that one, just imagine how different our relationships would be, how stronger they would be within our families, but in all relationships. If we actually made it a point to treat everyone else like we want to be treated. I like what one family said. It's so simple, yet so powerful, this principle in Matthew 7:12. One of the best and most concise guides for having good relationships. This person said, it has been a great help to us as we've taught our children how to get along with others, and in parentheses, including brothers and sisters. It works. This principle applied works, and we have this and so many other principles, like loving one another from the heart. They give us guidelines for living, guidelines for our relationships within the family. And they emphasize the importance of building our families upon the rock, upon Jesus, and living out the principles that He taught us. A third blessing is peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and verse 7. I read about a pharmacist who's also a Christian who was storming through life full speed ahead until suddenly he had a heart attack followed by triple bypass surgery. And he was used to being large and in charge and being in control of his life. And now he found himself in an uncomfortable position, not only flat on his back recovering from open heart surgery, but also not being in control. And it caused him to ask some deep questions. And it kind of shook his faith. And he began to pray and ask God and to seek God's counsel. And he says, I've probably never doubted the presence of Christ in my life as much as I did right after the heart attack. But he kept praying and seeking. And he came to this conclusion that faith to me is what happens when you can't make sense of life yourself. You have to wait, and God gives you the understanding. At least He did for me. And I guess it took me the better part of a week to realize that what He wanted from me was to hand Him the keys and let Him be boss again. As soon as I surrendered control, I felt a flood of relief from fear, from anger, from anxiety. I know with complete confidence that God would care for me whether I lived or died, whether I went back to work or not. The peace of that realization is enormous. Peace, even in the face of a trial. That's the peace that God gives. Jesus didn't mince words here. He told His disciples, and this is in that last discourse that He had with them in the upper room. He says, in the world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have that pressure on you. In the world, you will have trouble. But in me, you may have peace. Peace even in times of trouble. You've seen it as I have in families, Christian families. And being a Christian doesn't exempt us from those troubles. That's what Jesus is saying, isn't He? But what Jesus does provide for us is that strength to endure. We'll talk about that in a moment. But also, so that peace that surpasses all understanding. Yes, we struggle through the difficult times. We, just like this pharmacist, we have to work through them and pray and seek God and find a purpose and come to some conclusions in light of our faith and how we're going to adjust and maybe what is being taught us by God through these circumstances. But you've seen it as I have, how families going through intense struggles, they don't just completely fall apart. They don't despair, but they maintain their faith. And they keep on following God. And there's a peace that's found only by that resolve. There's a woman who says she was having particularly difficult times, troubles at work. Her parents weren't doing well with their health. A routine physical had turned up a lump in her breast, and she feared the worst. And partly to distract herself, she went to a shopping center and was meandering through a gift shop, and she saw a plaque with these words: "Sometimes God stills the storm to calm his frightened child. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child instead." Peace in the midst of the storm. It's another reason why we must build our families upon Christ. "Be anxious for nothing," Paul says, "but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Number four, another blessing of building our families upon Jesus is that we can have a positive perspective, a positive outlook on life. Yes, despite the fact that troubles will be inherent with our existence on this planet, that we don't despair, and that we can still look forward because of the power of hope that Jesus gives. And sometimes that hope strengthens us in that we realize this will not last forever. Someone said their favorite scripture was, "And it came to pass." Because they're thinking about something that was difficult in their lives and realize this one day is going to pass. But it's that hope that we have that can enable us to have a positive outlook, a positive perspective, a belief that life has meaning and purpose, and that we don't have to be overwhelmed by temporary troubles, that our outlook can stay positive and confident because we serve a God who loves us and who has promised us that all things will work together for good to those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. That one day it will be better. It may not be on this side of eternity, this side of heaven. It may be heaven. But I still, because of Jesus, have that to look forward to. And folks, many of you know, sometimes that's the only thing that'll keep you going during the day. It's because you know it's going to be better one day. I love the statement, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." Blessing number five, support from like-minded people. Yes, as Brother Ernie said, it is good to gather together with those of like precious faith. 2 Peter 1, verse 1, "To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." What a blessing it is that when we obey the gospel, we're added to a family, God's family, the church. It's one of those blessings that comes with building our lives on the rock of Jesus. One person said, "One of the benefits of building your house on a spiritual foundation is being part of a church family. In addition to the support found in our physical families, the fellowship and support from people in our extended spiritual family is invaluable." I've heard some of you say, "I don't know what I'd do without my church family." How many instances could I share with you from my family's perspective of how the church has been such a blessing to our lives? Patrice had problem pregnancies with Lacey and with John David. Had to stay off of her feet for, I think with Lacey, it was months. We were living in Fort Deposit. You remember Montgomery's a suburb of Fort Deposit. In the big city of Fort Deposit, serving the church there of a little over 100 members. But during those months where she had to be off of her feet, That church, the members of it, brought a meal to our house every day. Every day. They made me what I am today. Folks, for many people, the church is family. Some of you don't have physical family that live near. Some of you know the preciousness of what I'm speaking about, of the blessing it is to be a part of God's family. The early church, it says of them, "Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Do you sense the joy? Do you sense the happiness of knowing that their sins can be washed away, that no matter what part of the world they were from, and many of them were from different parts. We read in Acts chapter 2, and they'd come to Jerusalem, many of these Jews, to celebrate the feast of Pentecost, and they hear Peter and the apostles preaching about Jesus and how God had sent Jesus to die for them so that they can be saved from their sins. And when they obeyed the gospel, when they were baptized into Christ, their sins were washed away by His blood. And at the same moment, the Lord added to their number. And as they enjoyed that salvation, but also the fellowship that came along with it, the Lord continued to add to the church daily those who were being saved. And so the joy just continued to be multiplied because of salvation, but because of the connection, not only with God, but with one another within the family of God. It's a tremendous blessing to have the support of like-minded people. And the last one is power to endure. Power to endure. Sometimes God calms the storm to calm His child. Sometimes God lets the storms rage and calms His child instead. And it's when we pray for the storm to end, for it to be everything to be quieted down, sometimes the storms continue to rage. But when you're a Christian and your family is built upon Christ, we can be assured that the Lord is with us, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, that not only does God exist, but He will do what He says He will do. And when He doesn't deliver us from the storm, He'll give us the strength to endure. "I can do all things," Paul says, "through Christ who strengthens me." There's a strength to be had that'll help us endure the storms that, again, Jesus says will come. Because of the spiritual resources that are found in Christ, the challenges and trials of life are bearable and surmountable. And because of our connection with God, we have perspective, we have hope, we have optimism and confidence, and we have strength to endure. For these and many more reasons, the most important thing in your family, whether it's one or more, is to build your life and the life of your family upon the rock of Jesus. The most important part of your home is the foundation that it's built upon. So listen to Jesus. "Whoever hears and does these sayings of mine, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains came, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall. And the question remains, upon what foundation are we building our lives and the lives of our family members? If it's your decision to build your life on Jesus, to establish your place on that rock of Jesus, by surrendering your life in obedience to the will of God this morning, as one who's turned from sin, is ready to confess Christ and be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can be added to His family, we hope and pray that you'll place your life, stand upon that rock of Jesus. If you need the prayers of the church, as one who's wandered away and needs to come back home, or you have some struggles with which the church can pray with you and for you, please let that be known. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing.